Hey everyone, and welcome back to your daily Linux and open source news show. And today we'll start by talking about Fedora, because it was sort of inevitable after GNOME 47 announced that it could be built without using any X11 dependencies. Well, Fedora 41 announced that they will ship with Wayland only. The install media, the ISO that you put onto a USB drive, will not contain X11 support for GNOME, meaning the default install will be Wayland only. It's basically the same move as what they've done with the Plasma version of Fedora. Now, of course, X11 support remains in the repos and you can install it if you are experiencing any issues with Wayland or you just don't want to use Wayland at all. Now, theoretically, there shouldn't be many issues remaining for most people, because with explicit sync support with the latest NVIDIA drivers, the main source of Wayland problems is gone away, but there could still be some application compatibility issues here and there, so people can still use X11. And of course, if you're upgrading from Fedora 40 and you used X11 in Fedora, it will not be removed in the upgrade process to Fedora 41. You will keep the Wayland session as well. At some point, obviously, this won't be possible anymore, probably once Red Hat Enterprise Linux 10 is finalized, because it is planned for RHEL to drop that older display server entirely. So there's probably only two or three versions of Fedora left for X11 users. After that, it very likely will no longer be an option at all. But I guess plenty of other distributions will still offer the option, so no one will be completely left behind. It's not a big problem. Personally, I am all for this X11 deprecation process. It has been progressive over many years, and if it means more eyes on Wayland, more users, more bug reports, and more chances Wayland gets better, then I'm all for it. Now, the battle Google is waging against ads is escalating again as the server-side ad injection experiment continues. Google has apparently pushed a new ad injection method as an experiment to a few users, similar this time to what the YouTube application is doing, where they're using a specific data transfer format, packaging in a similar request or in the same request, the video metadata, the ad metadata, and the various videos themselves. So the video you're actually trying to watch and the video ads that YouTube wants to place before, in the middle, or after your video. All of this will be loaded through the same domain, which is googlevideo.com, so you can't use the usual ad blocking method of just blacklisting any request to this domain, because if you do so, you block the entire video loading process. You won't get the video metadata, you won't get the video itself. Developers from AdGuard and SponsorBlock say that they can't currently block these forms of requests and that for now there is no foolproof remedy to counteract this kind of behavior from Google. This doesn't mean it won't be possible in the future. Chances are it's going to be yet another cat and mouse game where Google really changes up how they serve ads and AdBlock developers change how they handle this and manage to block them in a way or another. This is probably going to go around and around for years. But if Google decided to deploy this right now, chances are people would just have to watch ads because our current extensions are just not ready to handle this. Obviously, it is still a complicated topic. Ads are what allow people to keep making as much content as they're making. Maybe some of it shouldn't be in the internet, maybe some people think my content shouldn't exist. Who cares? What's important is that without ads, a lot of people will just stop making content. But also, websites and YouTube themselves tend to go overboard with these ads. They're too numerous, they're too long, they're too intrusive. And I don't know whether people would leave YouTube in droves if you had to watch ads, or if people would just accept the ads and keep watching YouTube. I have no idea. Personally, if I could make the decisions, what I would try to do is enforce this, force people to have the ads, but offer them a way cheaper YouTube premium tier without YouTube Music. Instead of forcing people to pay 13 euros or $15 per month, just charge $5 per month without the ads, but no YouTube music. And if there's a problem with the music industry on music videos or something, just keep placing ads on music videos and remove the ads on everything else. I think a lot of people would be willing to pay $5 per month for an ad-free experience in 99% of the content that they want to watch. But at 13 euros for just YouTube and a music streaming service that some people just don't like and would prefer using something else, it's just not a good ask. And people might just very well prefer not watching YouTube anymore than having to pay that to have a decent experience. And finally, even as the EU forced Apple to open iOS to third-party stores, it looks like Apple is not willing to give up the fight. Epic Games have been trying to put their app store on iOS for a while now, basically a game store for iOS that they want to build. But it looks like Apple found weird ways to reject the app time and again, the latest being because the install button was too similar to the install button from the official iOS App Store, which I think it really smells like a bullshit reason, because how many ways are there to make a button that says install this application? Like, you're gonna have a button. The aesthetic style is currently sort of rounded corners and a flat color background, and you're gonna write install on it. Everything is gonna look like an install button. It's really normal. There aren't 20 different ways to make a useful install button. The in-app purchases button was also apparently too similar. Now, Epic Games complained publicly. Apple decided to let the store pass anyway, probably because they are under fire from the EU already for the limitations and terms of services that they try to enforce for apps that don't want to be published on the Apple App Store, with a lot of fees that really have no basis in reality. They probably decided that it wasn't worth fighting something that was going to happen anyway. But then Tim Sweeney, the CEO of Epic Games, publicly said that Apple told them this approval was only temporary, and that in their next update to the store, which is very likely to happen soon because it's a brand new application, they would have to change these buttons again. So I'm not a fan of Epic Games and their fake fight against monopolies and consumer unfriendly practices, because basically they have done the exact same thing. They have bought exclusivity deals that restricted user choice. So fighting companies on restricting user choice is kind of ironic, but Apple really needs to stop dragging their feet on this. They lost that battle. They lost the battle against third-party stores on iOS. They need to accept it. Fighting on a weird basis of how an install button looks is insane. If the entire app page of the Epic Game Store is a blatant copy of the official iOS App Store app page, then sure, just say, hey, this is misleading. This means consumers will think they are on the Apple App Store, but they're not, so build an entirely new design. But the button, if the entire page looks like the Epic Game Store, but the button just looks like the Apple button, like, Apple usually wants people to enforce guidelines and looks that make the system coherent. So this really feels like a bullshit reason, honestly. And yeah, they need to stop this. Seriously, Apple, just stop. You've lost. Okay, so this will conclude this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. As always, thank you all for supporting what I do. And I guess you will hear me in the next one tomorrow. Bye!